Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. I tell you what, we are at the, we're actually at the Vexus Dealer Show, but we're doing the
Roundup.
Yeah, we're doing the Fishing Guide Podcast, and actually we're grabbing some of the pros that are here. Jacob's here. And so we're excited to have you on. First time ever. Yeah. I think this is the first time I've ever even interviewed you unless you finished, like it had a top 10 when I was around.
I don't know if I've had you interview me before, but I've had some top 10s, but I don't know if I've had you interview
me. I think I was just not there at the right time is the problem.
That could have been.
Here's some water in case you get thirsty.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you.
Start to swell up or anything, but... Man, I tell you what, this is what's cool about this is you drive a Vexus boat. And so we just might as well get into it. Tell us what Vexus you're driving. And also, how'd you come to become a Vexus Pro?
Okay. So I drive a VXS 20, 20 footer. And I actually got on with Vexus. This is my first year running the Vexus.
Okay.
I started at the beginning of 2025. That would be the first time I ever got in a Vexus, ran the boat.
Right.
And, well, actually, I test drove and kind of checked the boats out at the end of 2024.
Right.
And I really, really liked the boat. I got brought on by a gentleman that's no longer working with Vexus, but I ended up meeting a bunch of the people here. I really liked the family-oriented feel that the company has. It's a... You know, it's a very personable company. You know, all the people feel very just easy to get along with, easy to talk to. It just feels really relatable for myself. And so I really fell in love with the company as a whole. And then I initially picked up my boat last year. I toured the main plant there where they're doing the majority of the work. And I was just absolutely blown away at the process and the, you know, attention to detail and all the work they put in to build such a quality product. It blew me away, actually, how they do the, you know, how they build the boats.
Man, the quality they put into their boats. Of course, we got a tour of the plant. I've been here before, and I actually have a Vexus boat, too. But
there you go. Which one do you have?
I have the VXX 2080.
Okay.
So it's a beast.
Yeah,
that's
a big boat.
It's a big boat, but it's very... like comfortable, and I assume that my grandkids will be able to drive that better than having maybe a bigger fiberglass boat.
Sure.
So figuring one or two of them will be fishing something when they get going. You actually, you're in Alabama now, but you're not an Alabama native.
I am an Oregon native.
Yeah.
I grew up on the West Coast.
Which part of the West Coast?
I grew up in Southern Oregon. That was where I spent the majority of my childhood. I was actually born in Seattle, Washington, and then my parents moved down to Oregon when I was 5. And so pretty much my whole childhood that I can remember, I spent in Southern Oregon, grew up bass fishing in an area that is not known for bass fishing, and learned all of my roots of how to catch a bass in an area that was not real well known for bass.
Was it known for smallmouth bass, though?
Or is
that
more,
too? That's not in the right area.
Salmon, steelhead, trout.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I grew up around the Rogue River, which is like used to be one of a really, really big destination salmon and steelhead river. You know, we do have smallmouth. We do have largemouth in a lot of the lakes in Oregon.
Right.
I lived close enough to the California border that Shasta Lake was within reach. And so I fished on Shasta quite a bit. That's all spotted bass. You know, you've got largemouth and smallmouth also, but it's a destination, you know, spotted bass.
Giant spotted bass.
It has big ones. Not as big. Well, I mean, they do get really, really big, but Bullard's Bar is where... Bullard's Bar has got some absolute monsters in it. That's where you've seen, you know, Cody Meyer and, you know, some of the other guys catch some just absolute tanks, you know, down there in Bullard's Bar. But
I love that you gave Cody a shout out, because me and Cody, we have some famous videos that we shot, and one of them is about a lure in a tree, but I won't go into that. But West Coast. So how do you translate fishing like that and you end up here? Were you a college?
Yeah, so I fished at the University of Oregon for all 4 years, and it actually worked in my favor.
Go Ducks.
Go Ducks, yeah. Skoducks, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No. I feel like I need to take my shirt off and run around like Pat.
Yeah, no. Know, so
college football day. Yeah.
Went to school there. It was a good deal for me because even as a freshman and a sophomore, I was able to compete in a lot of tournaments.
Right.
Whereas, you know, a lot of these bigger schools nowadays, like, you know, you've got your, you know, Bethel and you've got your Montevallo and stuff, you know, these schools, they can't send all these guys to these tournaments. They send their best anglers. And so a lot of the times your freshman and your sophomore guys, you know, may not compete in all their events. For me, I was able to go compete in everything.
Wow.
And so I actually fished in a lot of different national championships for college, had a lot of success in college. And yeah, out of college, fished a Costa Series on the West Coast, qualified for the FLW Tour, and made the jump, moved to Alabama, and I've spent the last, you know, 7 years learning on Guntersville and surrounding lakes and getting better and better and better. And
so, what year did you move?
I moved in 2018. Started my career in 2019 on the FLW Tour.
Right. Yep. And then it changed over.
Yeah, did that for 2 years, and then it changed Major League Fishing Bottom.
Right.
I think they changed it to the pro circuit at first, and then the invitationals after that.
So right.
Did that for 2 years, and then going on my fourth year on the Bass Pro Tour.
Right. So Guntersville is now your home lake.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. You just want us to do it. Give us two tips
for
fishing Guntersville, and this is going to happen pretty fast. So within the next 3 months,
sure.
During the winter period, what are you going to do on Guntersville?
Well, it's got a lot of grass in it year round. It's not a lot of the Tennessee River lakes like Chickamauga, they draw it down a lot.
Right.
So a lot of the grass that's on that lake during the summer ends up getting to the point where it can't survive during the winter because it's so shallow or it's dry, you know, and so it can't live through that. Guntersville, we're really fortunate. The water level doesn't fluctuate as much. So we've got a lot of really good grass year round. Lipless crankbait is really hard to beat in the winter months.
Right.
You know, you can fish that shallow up on top of these bars, or you can fish it out a little bit deeper, yo-yoing it through some of the deeper grass. Another bait, you know, that's good around the grass is a chatterbait. Chatterbait and lipless kind of go hand in hand.
Right.
And then, you know, of course, you know, forward facing, you've got your jerkbait and your minnow.
Right.
You know, those are going to be your top two, you know, for me, at least forward facing baits, jerkbait and a minnow. So I know you said two, but I ended up saying four. If I had to pick two, it'd be a minnow and a lipless crankbait though.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you big into forward facing in case people don't know if you are?
I mean, I feel like
you look like a new wave angler.
I guess. I mean, I'm 31 years old. I grew up in the time frame where it wasn't around, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I've spent a lot of my life learning how to catch a bass just off instinct and off of, you know, intuition and stuff. So my roots are not forward facing, but since it's come out, I've spent a lot of time learning it.
Right.
I feel like I've gained a lot of knowledge with it and gotten better using it. And, I feel like I could compete with, the best of them using it. So,
and a new format plays into anglers that are talented in both aspects, with and without.
Absolutely. Our first tournament of the year in 2025 on Lake Conroe, showcased that for myself. You know, I ended up finishing third in that event. And, it was strongly dominated by forward facing in the first period.
Right.
And then after that, everybody that was using it had to shut it off and then go fishing.
Right.
And I was able to catch them well, obviously, in both, you know, ways in order to maintain a third place finish. So
I think people they underestimate the amount of knowledge and talent it takes to compete in like the tournaments that you're fishing. And it's an elevated level, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's years and years and years. I mean, even, you know, I'm 30. I mean, I look young to some people that say that I look really young.
You look young because we're old. Some of us are old.
Maybe so. But I've put in countless days and hours and on the water learning, and a lot of that time not finding success, you know, in order to find success, and then, patterning that success. And I've spent a lot of time doing that. And so with that time and with those patterns and with that, you know, sequence of events, I've been able to build confidence in certain things and I mean, coming from the West, fishing a lot of smaller reservoirs out there. Also did a lot of pond fishing when I was in college and just growing up. And so those are very diverse from the little lakes that I fished. So constantly putting myself in different environments, different bodies of water has really diversified my skill set. And so I feel very competent going just about anywhere fishing, whether it's grass, whether it's docks, whether it's, you know, open water, you know, I feel comfortable doing that. And that's something that takes a lot of time to get good at and to feel that, you know, that way about.
Let's talk about your boat.
Okay.
Talk about your boat and tell us about detailing, because you have a new boat probably coming, right?
Yeah, I'm actually getting my new boat tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Driving home with it. It's
Told everyone to pick their boat up. I'm sure you won't have any trouble. You'll be like, I'll take my boat.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm very excited. I talked to Keith Daffrin about a month ago, and I was like, hey, Keith, I could make a trip out there, but it's 8 hours for me to drive there and 8 hours for me to drive back. It would make more sense for me, since I didn't have my graphs yet or anything.
Right.
I was like, it would make more sense for me just to get it after the roundup, you know? Uh-huh. So he's like, no problem at all. So it's been nice. Ready for a little while now, and I'm just going to bring it home from the event here.
So tell us about the rigging. Is a dealer going to do the rigging, or do you have a rigger, or what's the scoop on this?
Yeah, I do have a group of guys over at Sea Clear Power that Nathan Martin and his team of guys that helped me out. Nathan and I have known each other for quite a while now. I've kind of worked with Nathan since he got started with the powering harness, and He's just a good dude, has a bunch of good dudes working for him over there, and they do a great job rigging my boat out. The first couple of years I brought it over there, I kind of helped hands-on, helped them rig it, wanted to kind of see the process of it. And now it's, you know, I trust them and I feel good about their
work. You just stay out of their way.
I just kind of bring everything there and let them do their deal. So that's the plan.
So from the start to the back, how many graphs you have in the front, and how many you have on the console? Give us a layout.
So I used to use one at the console and two at the front. Over the last year, I ran two at the console and two at the front.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to do again this year is 16 for my forward facing for my active target.
Okay.
And a 12 up front. So 16 and a 12 up front, and then two 12s on the console.
All right.
And then I run active target. I run all a rant setup. So
I'm running active target two.
Active target two. Running Boat Logix mounts at the console and at the bow. Right. You know, I'm running pretty much everything that I feel like I need to run to have, you know, a little bit of an advantage. You know, there's a couple products that I run that are, you know, companies that I work with, you know, CS Pro Solutions, they make a C-Stick, a little C-Stick, yellow planer deal on
there. I have one of those.
Yeah, they're, you know, Carson Orellana, I competed against him in college. He's the inventor of that, company. And
you just got to finish ahead of him, right?
Yeah.
Is that your goal every tournament?
Oh, Carson.
You and Carson.
Yeah, I don't compete against him anymore.
But I mean, when you did.
Yeah.
It was always.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, you know, just friendly rivalry.
But, that's right.
Yeah. No, it's good though. Got a lot of different components on the boat, but it's, you know, all comes together, you know, needs to come together here in the next couple of weeks and
pretty soon
season will get going. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we talked about your boat and gear like that. Let's talk about you giving a tip to an angler that's coming up. You fished in college. Where do you think they should start? What should they start looking at? What's the most important thing?
Well, I mean, depends on how old of an angler we're talking about here. If it's somebody that's...
Let's say high school to start with.
Say if you're in high school, you know, I'm trying to think back to what I was doing in high school to prepare myself.
You're not that old. You're still pretty young.
Yeah, that's still a while ago. I mean, I graduated...
Did your dad get you started?
My dad got me started in fishing.
Right.
My dad never bass fished before. Right. I started watching it on TV when I was young.
Wow.
And I was watching Roland Martin, Bill Dance, Jimmy Houston, and I just thought it was really interesting how they were going out there and catching numbers of fish, like generating bites consistently throughout the day, catching lots of fish. And when my dad and I would go fishing, we'd go for salmon or steelhead, and it'd be like this grind to get a bite, and I would get so bored with that.
Right.
When I saw bass fishing, I was like, Dad, why don't we do this? I was like, you can go out there and catch a bunch. I was like, right. And they blow up on the surface and they eat stuff in cool ways. I was like, right. Why aren't we doing this? Like, this looks way more fun. And so we started out just pond fishing around our right. local area there in Oregon. But if I had to talk to, younger guys, and this is really what I tell younger people
okay.
in the industry that are interested in excelling and propelling themselves forward, and whether they want to be a pro or just get better. The number one thing I say is time on the water,
okay.
and just fish as much as possible.
Right.
And one of the things that I don't hear a lot of other people say that I emphasize is I don't really care whether you're going out on the bank for 30 minutes or right. 40 minutes or 2 hours, or you're taking a kayak out there,
uh-huh.
or you're going out in a John boat, or you're going out in a really nice Vexus. I don't care what it is, from bank fishing to going out in your beautiful Vexus, somewhere in between, time on the water, whether it's, 30 okay. minutes to a whole day, that time can be, something to learn from, whether it's just walking down to the local pond and throwing a jig up under a bush and catching one, there could be a tidbit of information that you learned there, or it's just getting better at casting, whatever it is, there's stuff to be gained from those experiences. And when I was younger, I took every opportunity I could to go put a line in the water. I lived pretty close to some ponds.
Right.
I would ride my bike down to these ponds and I'd be fishing as much as I could. Good. And, when I got my license, I was out of the house fishing after school every day I could,
Right.
And so,
wow.
In college, I didn't have the opportunity to have a boat. So I bought a float tube and, I would take my float tube to the local lakes. And in the right. wintertime, I'd crank down the dam of this lake with a crankbait, and I would let the crankbait pull my float tube down the dam, keep my feet up out of the water, and I cranked down the dam. I mean, I did anything wow. I could to fish and to get better at fishing. And so when I talk to younger guys, I tell them, hey, just time on the water, learn right. as much as you can, fish as much as you can.
What's your degree in?
I got a degree in product design and fine art.
Okay. So do you do some drawing and stuff that...
I work with Duckett Fishing, and I okay. currently I have the Sway Minnow and the Sway Head
nice.
And the Sway Hair Jig, which are all designs that I helped with.
Nice.
I've got a glide bait that we're releasing here very soon that I had a big part in designing.
Really?
I've spent a lot of time carving baits, making baits. There was a few years where I was making some supplemental income selling wooden baits and wow. resin baits that I was making.
Right.
But no, I mean, I don't really use my degree, so to speak, yeah. the art side of it, but I've always liked to work with my hands and, I don't know. I went to college so I could fish, to be completely honest with you. I went to college so
lucky I could... you graduated? Is that what you're saying? No, you would have went 5 or 6 more years, but you ran out of eligibility.
No, I mean, I wanted to get the heck out of Dodge.
Oh, all right. Well, out of Oregan. That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time, sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft bait, so make sure you check them out if you're looking for lures to catch everything. I don't know about salmon. Haven't heard much about people catching, salmon on Pico crankbaits, but they catch the fire out of them down in Alabama and Mississippi. So check them out at picolures.com. Also, B&M Poles. B&M Poles, of course, has all kinds of fishing rods and everything you can trout fish, brim fish, catfish, crappie fish. Of course, they got the brand new 20-foot BGJP, which is a monstrous rod at 20 foot long.
That's huge.
And so, you better have a rack or something to put that thing on. But they're a ball to catch with, and there's some people spider rigging with it, and they're having a lot of fun. So you can check them out at bnmpole.com. Jacob, they want to find out more about you. How about social media and stuff?
Yeah, so it's pretty easy. Just my name, Jacob Wall, and then fishing. That's across the board. That's all my social media is Jacob Wall Fishing. So I use Instagram primarily. I do have a YouTube channel with quite a bit of content on there, Facebook, and all that good stuff.
All right, there you have it. Like we always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lure's in the water.